This is Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
Want to know what to eat, where to go and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by the Food Cops on Radio Today. Good afternoon, South Africa, and welcome to Soundbites with myself, Edward Chamberlain Bell. We've actually been spoiled for food recently in Johannesburg. If you were lucky enough to go to the Good Food and Wine Show last week at the Dome, really awesome experience in terms of new people that were exhibiting and products that were coming out. And I always find often we want to go to these shows, not necessarily because we're looking for a free meal, but because we're looking for the new ideas that are coming out. And as if things couldn't get any better, we have got Taste of Joburg today, tomorrow. Check their website, tasteofjoburg.co.za. Having said co.za, it's probably .com, but I mean, Google it and you'll find it, where you'll find 12 of Johannesburg's best restaurants exhibiting and displaying and selling starter-sized portions of their best signature dishes. And what I always love about that is that you get to taste and nibble as opposed to gorge and feel full. So definitely worthwhile looking around. And if you want to go on to the more salacious side, Sexpo is happening at Gallagher Estate. If you haven't been, it's worthwhile going at least once. You can say that you've been there. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're looking for smut, you'll be sadly disappointed. But go there with an open mind and expect to see something new and hopefully learn something that you never knew about. Anyhow, moving on, we are blessed and privileged to have Johan from De Hoek Country Lodge visiting us today. And I'll tell you why that's such a phenomenal venue to go and visit. A, the Magaliesberg is so beautiful and quiet. You can easily go and spend an entire weekend there. But especially if you're going to De Hoek, what they're specializing, not just five-star accommodation, but their food. So, Johan, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And before we discuss the food, tell me a little bit about the history, because, I mean, you've been, this is your family home, if I'm not mistaken, going back a good couple of decades.
In fact, it's a family property that goes back to 1859, if you'll believe it. But in its present form, it's no more than De Hoek, the country house, is only about 22 years old, and it was built to look as if it had been there for a long time, because we liked the idea of the sandstone and the natural timber beams and just a very nice quality of having been there for a long time. It started when we had a joint venture with Mount Grace, but that was terminated after about a year because it didn't work. And then I found Michael Hollenstein, who is a wonderful Swiss-trained chef who's become a hotelier and a partner in our business. I found him at a small restaurant that he was running, or that he owned in Windsor, called Papa Gigi.
Yes.
And he's a wonderfully trained Swiss chef who has brought excellent food to De Hoek for 20-something years now, and constantly innovates and brings new stuff and travels and sees what's going on in the world. And so he's the man who does the feast.
He's the man that does the feast. I think you must be living on the most enviable places in South Africa, because it is so gorgeous out there. It's like completely untouched and natural. What I love is, like, when you go to De Hoek, there's the sense of grandeur in terms of the ivy climbing everywhere, the manicured lawns, you're looking at the gardens. I think when we went, it was like 2 months ago, so obviously it's winter, but everything was like lush and green. Mm-hmm. I'd love to come back in summer and see all the flowers popping up everywhere.
Yes.
But when you extend yourself beyond the actual, I don't want to say formal area, but the centerpiece of the property, everything becomes very rustic, and you've got natural woodlands, you've got trails there, rivers, whatever, a couple of monkeys that have entertained me endlessly. So it's a wonderful place to go hiking, and if you want outdoor pursuits. So I'm curious to know, what is it like? Do you see this as your home, or do you see this as a business? Because I think if you're living there as a business, it must be the best place to actually live.
Well, until now, it has been primarily a business, but my wife Emma and myself will be spending more time semi-living there from this point onwards. We're extending De Hoek. We're making it bigger. We're adding rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be taking a roost in Main Quarter, in the main house, and be spending more time there.
Actually, I thought you did live there permanently.
No, I don't.
We don't?
No, we live in Joburg.
And you drive up and down?
But it doesn't matter because it's always a pleasure going there.
It is actually a gorgeous drive. I don't know, because I saw you a couple of one or two nights and I thought you really do look like you hosting, and you're very, I'm trying to think of the right word, but you a very entertaining host, and you've got people visiting. I thought, well, if this man lives here and he's got all these facilities at his disposal, it'd be the perfect way to entertain. This is actually what impressed me the most, because I mean, obviously I wanted to go for food, is De Hoek really does cater for fine dining. And when I look at those, and not just fine dining, because it is actually an overused word, but fine dining par excellence. So when you've got Michael Holstein there, I don't know how many awards he's actually got to his name, because when I was Googling him, and I think at one point I was counting up to 50 awards in his own right, when I look at De Hoek, you've got a multiple selection of awards, that I see you've got the plaques on your wall as well. So when you're talking about fine dining at its best, it really is fine dining at its best. And what intrigued me the most is, because I was there for two nights, is each evening they had a completely separate menu. Whereas at a lot of restaurants you go to, they give you one fixed menu and it never changes. You're lucky if a restaurant will change their menu, according to their seasons. But you guys, or Michael does, every single night, a brand new five-course menu.
Well, Michael and his team have just been awarded the American Express Fine Dining Excellence Award, which we're very pleased with. And yes, he does change it on a regular basis. It depends what's fresh, what's out there. He buys fresh vegetables, fresh everything, and uses what he's bought and to create the dishes that we've talked about.
Okay. How long does he plan his dishes in advance? Because I'm imagining one thing, you need to know what is available at market on the day, on the week that you're cooking. But at the same time, a menu like that obviously needs some planning. You don't just throw things into a pot and pull out a five-course meal.
Not being a chef, I'm not sure that I'm going to be on secure ground here, but I've seen Michael planning a week ahead.
Okay.
A week ahead. Because he's got to get everything coming together at the right time, and he's got to get the kitchen staff programmed to deliver. We also have very good wine facilities and a good cellar, and one of our experts on the property, Reggie, has won a couple of awards again for us. It was the Diners Club Award recently for excellent choice of wines. So we do the whole bang shoot, the food and the wine.
The food and the wine tasting. The one thing that I enjoyed as well is, because this is my big thing, it's like often you go to a restaurant and you've got to drink the same bottle of wine with all the courses because you bought the bottle of wine, and you don't want to brown bag it when you're leaving the restaurant. Yeah. So I love the fact that at De Hoek, you get your five courses, plus you get the wine tasting accompanying the meal. And I can't read my notes here, but I did make very thorough notes. But I just noticed here that the one dish that they served was just served with a really gorgeous white wine, had these like very citrusy, grapefruity undertones. Mm-hmm. And it was served alongside, I'm going to break this menu apart in a second if I carry on like this, but it was served alongside a tempura prawn with a Thai crab fish cake.
Oh, that's what he does.
Yes. And I just thought everything just pulled together.
Beautiful.
But what I loved about it, and I know it's like such a cliche, everybody says, oh, whenever you serve fish, you have to have a wedge of lemon.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at my tempura prawn and my Thai-styled crab cake, I was thinking, where's the lemon? And it was this avocado salsa that had so much lemon in it, it just hit you. And I thought, it's not just a novelty, but it's, because novelty is one thing, anybody can pull off novelty, but it's pulling off that newness and that freshness in a way that you haven't seen before, but that is still, I think, true to the food, because it's not a gimmicky thing. It was just like a perfectly prepared, oh, I'm going to get my tongue tied,
perfectly prepared
portion.
Exactly, because putting the slice of lemon in there would be too obvious. Doing it in the avo salsa was a more subtle version of the thing.
Very subtle and far more sophisticated. I mean, obviously the lemon was nice because it cut through the tempura, the batter, but then also it was that novelty. It's like it really hit you like a shot of lemon juice without actually being too obvious.
And Michael makes all his own pasta.
Good God. Mine, I can imagine he would. He's the kind of man who pays attention to detail.
Yeah.
And when you look at the details on the menu, I can imagine he would be fastidious about doing everything himself from scratch.
You know, while you're talking about De Hoek and some of the aspects of the environment there, we for a long time felt slightly deprived because we didn't have much for people to do. Like, we don't have tennis courts or bowling alleys or any of the sorts of things that people sometimes want. And we started asking guests what it is that they appreciated about Le Hoek, or did they want anything more. And it's amazing how many of them said they just want to come and relax. They don't want to do stuff. They don't want to worry about anything. They just want to eat a lovely meal, enjoy the wine, and chill. They just don't want to be hassled or even feel guilty about having to do something.
Yes.
It's just relaxing. And, you know, recently we tried to get a sense of what it is that happens at Le Hoek, because during the week, it's primarily a conference venue. We have the top 100 companies that come, not all together, obviously, but companies within the top 100 come for their strategy meetings, their board meetings. And so it's a conference venue. Over weekends, it's a time when free independent travelers come, and you have couples and you have birthdays and celebrations and anniversaries and all that sort of thing. So it's a place where people come, and primarily they're there to talk.
Yes.
Because if you think about it, what does a business do if they're sitting around a conference table? They're having a conversation, right? That's what they're doing. And then if you see people over the weekends and they with their partner or they with a small group, what is it that they're doing? They're talking, they're having conversations. So we decided, as a special promotion over the next couple of months, to stage a series of very special and interesting conversations. And we've invited a number of what we call notable South Africans to come and lead a conversation for us. So the idea is that we have a small group of invited people, and then members of the public also can join in, to come on a Saturday, to be there in time for the high tea at about 3:30. We have a wonderful tea under the trees with fancy sort of English cucumber sandwiches and little dainty treats. And then we have a conversation in the Garden Pavilion with whoever it is who's doing the one that week. This coming weekend, it's Russell Opshaw, the 28th of September. He's coming to talk about his life as the chief executive of the Johannesburg Securities Exchange and just share some personal stories. A couple of weeks ago, we had Peter Harris, the now renowned author, to talk about his life and his work. And after Russell Opshaw, we will be having Marianne Fazler, the dress designer,
yes,
who's coming to do, and so on. So there's a whole program. After that tea and after having the conversation, we take a break, we get back together for drinks at 7 o'clock, and we then have a beautiful dinner like you've described with whoever it is who's leading the conversation, and the conversation carries on. And people can just crash when they're tired and go to bed, because usually the fresh air gets to you. And the next morning we have an extended breakfast, after which everybody can go home.
Outstanding.
So conversations.
Give me an idea. So it's not actually a debate where they're just coming in a lecture.
No.
They're actually coming to have a conversation with everybody that is interested in hearing what they have to say and discuss with them.
The people that we've invited, Edward, have interesting careers.
Mm.
And often when they talk, they're in public, it's a staged thing, it's kind of, or a publication in a paper or something. This is an opportunity to get close to that person and to ask them questions about aspects of their lives or aspects of anything that they've worked with over the past couple of years, and to have a conversation.
I think exactly what you said earlier, it's a conversation with notable people.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, when you mentioned that gentleman from the JSE, I thought, well, I've got no interest in finance, but I'd be very interested to hear his personal anecdotes of what happened behind the scenes.
Yes.
And I think that would be quite riveting. I'm a big fan of Marion Fassler. So, I mean, for myself, I'd love to hear what she has to say, and also hear the, again, what I just mentioned earlier, hear the stories behind the scenes, the dramas and things
dramas
that don't unfold in the public forum, because, I mean, often all these things look so effortless, but I also know from personal experience, and you probably also know yourself, lots of things happen that go wrong. You just see the tip of the iceberg. So one last question, just on that note, if people want to get onto your mailing list and find out who's the next speaker, if they're interested,
yes,
how would they contact you?
We have a website, and the website is www.dehoek.com.
D-E-H-O-E-K.
Dehoek.com.
You can never trust me with the codes for a com. I'll probably get it wrong, so I always tell people to Google it.
Yes.
But what I'll do is I'll share that onto my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com, and I'll share it on Facebook, My name, EdwardChamberlainBell.com. I really do think Notable Conversations, and they're not celebrities, they really are
notable
leaders
South
of their...
Yes.
Yeah, they're leading South Africans. So it's not just a frivolous entertainment thing, it's a serious, deep intellectual discussion.
After Marianne Faeser, we've got Mark Lamberti, the ex-chief executive of MassSmart, now the chairman of MassSmart.
Ah.
And they all have war stories. They all have stories about dramatic events in their lives. And they can talk about it freely because it's, you know, chat mouse rules. You just share all the stuff and it's a very intimate experience.
And also if people are interested, they can actually, I mean, obviously if it's a person you're interested in, you'd actually find what they have to say interesting.
Indeed.
One thing I do remember is when I first met you at De Hoek is, and this is something I want to know, is when I mentioned to your staff, you just asked how did I find the service, and when I thought about it and I said, you know, to me, your staff are confident. They're not, I don't want to use those overword words like efficient and friendly and helpful, because I mean, everybody can be friendly, efficient and helpful. Unfortunately, not too many people are like that. But I find your staff are confident. They know what they're talking about when they recommend a wine, when they present a meal, especially considering that your meals virtually change every single day. When they're presenting things, you can see that there's pride and confidence. How do you actually instill that in your staff? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of people listening could actually steal a couple of ideas from you there, I hope.
We're very fortunate because the key people have been there for a long time. So the waiters and the wine stewards and the people who work there, the people at the bar, have been doing it for a very long time. That gives familiarity and it gives confidence. But Michael Hollenstein is a superb trainer of people. And so he gives people confidence because he gives them skill.
Mm.
And with those skills, they can step out. So it's a combination of very good training and retention of the best people.
I think one of your future notable conversations should be with yourself or Michael, because I think it's very easy to train people to go by color by numbers in terms of good service, but to instill a sense of pride. And I don't think you can actually instill a sense of pride in someone. I think that sense of pride has got to come from within. And that's the one thing that I notice with everybody from front of house right the way through to the house staff, right the way through to the waiters in the restaurant, really have a sense of pride in terms of what they're doing at De Hoek. And that is something I just think is so commendable. I also noticed one of the guys, because I mean, you just mentioned out there's nothing to do there, but there's actually quite a lot to do at De Hoek. I mean, I had a lesson in archery,
which
I've never ever actually done before. And I was quite surprised. The gentleman that actually took me around, I think was one of the waiters as well, set up everything on this beautiful canopy, put up the bows and arrows, and didn't just leave me there to shoot willy-nilly, because I probably would have killed someone. But he actually showed me how to get my angle right, how to get my posture right, how to aim to hit the bullseye. And I thought, this is literally like, it was wonderful. It's literally like having a personal trainer giving you, and I really just wanted to play around. I thought there was a, I don't know what you'd call it, an archery thing, where pre-set up already, where you could just go shoot a couple of arrows. But when I saw the amount of effort that these guys went to, they literally set up specifically for me, and I thought, I can't just do 5 minutes shooting arrows. I'm going to have to really
be serious
about it. I think it took them half an hour to set up the stand. I thought, I may as well take up half an hour to actually shoot a few arrows as an avid archerist.
Archer.
Clearly, I didn't learn that much, or else I need some more practice. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Get more summer savings on your groceries. Get 500 grams Kellogg's Corn Flakes for only R19.90. Buy a Skip Intel FlexiBag 2kg washing powder, or Skip 750ml concentrated liquid at R49.99, and get any 400ml Comfort Fabric Softener free. Cuddler's disposable nappies, MIDI 52s, Maxi 50s, Maxi Plus 48s, or Junior 44s are only R94. You save R15. 2 litre assorted Ola rich and creamy ice cream is only R33.99. You save R13. And 205 Roses tagless tea bags are R39.99. And you can save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your Smart Shopper vouchers. Only at Pick n Pay. Always there for you. Prices are valid the 26th to the 29th of September, and prices apply to Gauteng stores.
21 years ago, Johannesburg had an irresistible urge to build a stage and invite the whole world to perform on it. Do you remember your first Arts Alive? Johannesburg Arts Alive 2013 is full of surprises, packed with trusted regulars from theatre and dance to spoken word and music. Arts Alive International Festival is brought to you by the City of Johannesburg, stitching together a more integrated city, and is part of the city's 21 years of Arts Alive celebration. For more information, go to artsalive.co.za.
Interested in seeing the faces behind the voices? Visit Radio Today's website at 1485.org.za and click on the Your Hosts link.
Welcome back to Soundbites with myself, Edward Chamberlain Bell. And today we are lucky enough to be chatting to Johan Redlinghuis from De Hoek out in Magaliesburg. I want to ask you one question, Johan, and that is one thing that I actually found going to Magaliesburg. Is literally, it is like a one-horse town. And yet you've got all these gorgeous spas and retreats and country homes and lodges and everything happening around Magaliesburg. But when you actually drive to the main city, you might just think that you've hit a ghost town or you want to take a U-turn and go back home. So how do you actually market yourself to get people to come to Magaliesburg, and what can we actually do about tourism picking up that city or picking up that town?
Well, we don't talk about the town or the village, because you're quite right. It's a rather scruffy little place and not that exciting. Several people are now toying with ideas of coffee shops and antique shops, and there have been attempts at working with these, but they've not been successful. So the little village itself is a disappointment. What we focus on instead is the Magaliesburg, the mountain range, the mountains of Magaliesburg that are older than Mount Everest. Magaliesburg is considered to be more than 200 million years old. So think about that. And the excitement of this wonderful mountain range. I just want to talk also, Edward, about what's happening in tourism at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes to travel, but I think that there's a move here and internationally away from simply standing and gawking at something and enjoying the view and saying, I've seen this and I've seen that. People want to be active. They want to do something active. So adventure tourism is becoming a bigger and bigger thing. So that's where people go and do whitewater rafting, or they go and climb, or they go and do whatever else might be an adventure. Another one, and this I think is particularly appropriate for the Magaliesburg, because remember, we're right next to the cradle of humankind.
Yes.
And the cradle fits very well into something that is becoming a big issue now, again, in the USA and internationally, and that's called heritage tourism. And heritage tourism, if you think in the United States, where they recreate a town that existed in the 17th century in America, what it looked like, the people wear the costumes, and that it's to show new young Americans what Williamsburg looked like 200 years ago. Well, in South Africa, heritage tourism in our environment could start with the cradle of humankind, but it is also a very historical environment, because when you travel to De Hoek, you go through Hackpoort, and if you watched at Hackpoort, you've got a great big blockhouse fort up on the hill, built of stone during the time of the Boer War. And the Boer War was the platform off which much of the Boer War happened or played out. The Jameson raid was from Mafeking to Pretoria, and they passed right through the Magaliesburg area. So the heritage element of tourism is very appealing, and I find people want to know more about history. They want to find out more about it, and we should exploit that.
I think you used a brilliant example with the Americans, because the Americans are not shy about shoving patriotism down your throat. You see it in all their movies and 4th of July. Yeah. Whereas in South Africa, we've just had Heritage Day last weekend, and I noticed a lot of people found the word Braai Day controversial, because I said, you know what, we're supposed to be celebrating our heritage, not celebrating a braai. And I think braai is actually an Afrikaans word, so it's not really a universally accepted language or word in all the languages in South Africa. But I was thinking about heritage in South Africa, and I thought, it's not about just celebrating my personal heritage, it's about celebrating everybody's heritage. And when you look at South Africa, we've had such a checkered past from beginning to end, but the only way we're actually going to reconcile as a society or as a community, a global community, is if we actually walk the roads that you say all these guys have gone through and actually experienced what our forefathers went through. It doesn't matter if it's a black or a white history, it's a collective history that brought us all together where we are today. And especially when you look at the Magaliesburg, what I love about, I always say my favorite thing about the Magaliesburg, is that quietness and that stillness and that the freshness of the air. Mm. In Johannesburg, you get so used to dogs barking, cars hooting, something going on. Mm. But it's almost disorientating slightly to actually, as a Johannesburger, to detach yourself from distraction, where you can actually appreciate quietness.
And not to hear anything.
Yeah, not to hear anything. The sounds of silence.
We have one major departure from that. On Sunday mornings, the bikers come through the Magaliesburg on their breakfast run, and Sunday mornings are noisier very often than any other part of the week. But generally, it's quiet and it's very peaceful. And we love it.
Okay, well, I'm glad I wasn't there on the Sunday. I've noticed, because my sister-in-law stays in Hartbeespoort Dam, and I noticed whenever we come up and down on a Sunday, there's always bikers left, right, and center. Yes. And unfortunately, I've seen one too many Clint Eastwood movies where bikers were always baddies. That bikers today on a bike still puts the fear of God into them. But often you find a lot of them actually investment bankers in leather with a Harley Davidson.
Exactly.
So they're not exactly about to break a beer bottle on my head.
You do know, I'm sure, that the Cradle area has become a famous place for cyclists.
Oh, yes. I've actually noticed when we went out to Nurox.
That's right.
There are a lot of cyclists on the one side.
Exactly.
And there's so much diversity because the one side is almost like bushveld and the other side is almost like an English countryside, very lush
willow
and very
trees,
green.
Yeah.
We've had a very, also an equally checkered history around the Magaliesberg area because we, I think, have tried three times unsuccessfully to find Maropeng. And eventually when we did find, we'd actually driven past it twice. But it looked like a nuclear power station with these satellite dishes all the way around it. But when we did find it, it was actually a blessing in disguise. But I also noticed on the one side you get lots of cyclists, and obviously it's quite safe out there because you find them cycling on their own.
And they've now got specially demarcated cycle lanes on either side of the road with mm-hmm. little posters there. But the Maropeng thing is interesting because one would think that they built it where the Sterkfontein Caves are. They didn't.
No.
The Sterkfontein Caves you see quite a way before you get to Maropeng, and Maropeng is the kind of Disney World version of, dare I say that?
I was going to say, I wouldn't use it as Disney World. I thought it was an interactive museum. It was entertaining and it was informative and
indeed.
Very stimulating,
yeah.
I thought. A while ago, I actually recommended to our listeners they have to go to Maropeng and to take the kids because it will actually just open your mind
yes.
and your eyes in terms of how big and how much history the world, our planet has.
Yes.
But we were also looking for the Sterkfontein Caves. We're still looking for them, actually. So when we hit upon Maropeng, we were expecting something completely different. But now I actually have to find the Sterkfontein Caves as well.
And you need to do this because this is real heritage. This is world heritage. It's not just South African heritage. Many years ago, I walked into the Natural History Museum in Cromwell Road in London and didn't know quite what to expect. And as I walked in the foyer, the thing I saw right in front of me was a map of, would you believe it, Krugersdorp, where I grew up, and Sterkfontein. And they were talking about the first people who, you know, the origin of humankind.
Origin of humankind.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that I found interesting is, like, because we are tucked away at the bottom of the world, we often think as South Africans that we're forgettable.
Yeah.
But when you look at our history, and also, like you mentioned, now it's humankind's history. It's not just South African history. It's shows us how much we actually fit in with the
Indeed.
Rest of the world.
Yes.
And they had a brilliant documentary on television this last weekend. I probably will never remember the name again unless I Google it. But it was about the transformation period building up to South Africa's first and free elections, and when Nelson Mandela was elected as our first president. And just watching it, is what I found intriguing was to see how many international highly regarded people. We were talking about Hillary Clinton, a couple of other people thrown in for good measure, and how we actually captured the world's imagination, how much dedication they spent watching our elections. And I think there's so much to offer the world from South Africa, and I think too often we get caught up in the petty details and
the bad news.
Yeah, the bad news. I mean, you can talk about taxis and crime or whatever, but I mean, that's just petty. But you look at what is going right in South Africa, and those are the things that we often don't hear about or we choose to overlook. And I think just as a reminder, following Heritage Days, find out what you enjoy about South Africa as opposed to what you don't. One thing I do love about South Africa is that we've got De Hoek just around the corner. So if people, we haven't actually spoken much about your food. So what I'm going to suggest is maybe we can haul Michael in sometime. I believe he's traveling at the moment.
Indeed, yes.
So when he's back, he can actually come and join us and tell us about his food, because I did actually make notes and I was going to blog about them, but I thought I wanted to have you on the show first. So we'll get Michael on first, because and I don't want to sound pretentious, but the one thing I always find interesting about food is, I mean, obviously food is meant to taste good and fill your tummy at a very basic level. But when you have a dish that actually makes you think, and like I said, I don't want to sound pretentious here, but when you have a dish that actually makes you think intellectually how the meal was constructed and what thought process went into it.
And what it looks like.
Yes. I mean, the one thing that I'm a sucker for is a trio, and I think on my first night there, Michael, I prepared a trio of creme brulees, which is my all-time favorite dessert. So to have three creme brulee served in one setting, to me, I died and gone to heaven. And then also you get to experience the contrast between the different flavors, the different presentations. You also did something with chocolate the following day. Okay, we're going to run out of time very quickly if I keep rambling on. So we're going to have a firm agreement that Michael is going to come and join us in Soundbites, I think hopefully before the end of the year.
Agreed.
And hopefully I get to chat to you again sometime soon as well. And then just one last time, if people want to get hold of you, it is dehook.com.
Correct.
And I will share those details on my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com, or on Facebook, Edward Chamberlain Bell, where you can like my page and follow me. Johan, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It really was a treat and a pleasure. And as usual, I ended up talking too much about the wrong thing. So I look forward to chatting to Michael from Dehook soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, Edward.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Neil Starr. Please tune in to That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. for some real music nostalgia, when I'll be taking you on a trip down memory lane with music sourced exclusively of 78-speed shellac records. My music will cover anything from 1910 to the late 1950s. Remember, it's That Gramophone Show on Sundays at 7 p.m. with me, your host, Neil Starr.
If you want choice, meaning you can find spectacles you really like at the right price, come to Spectacle Warehouse at Hilfox Centre, Atterbury Value Mart and Centurion Lifestyle Centre. Park at our doorstep and step into the biggest selection of optical product under one roof, priced to suit every pocket, and we can make your spectacles the same day. Spectacle Warehouse, unlimited choice.
Hi, I'm actor and comedian Sans Munsami, and you're listening to 1485 AM Radio Today. Today. Sorry, I just thought I'd just throw in my own reverb. You don't like it. Okay.
And you're back listening to Soundbites with myself, Edward Chamberlain Bell, on Radio Today, Johannesburg. Just to finish off, I just find so many times we have so many of these food expos that I have that are happening, not just in Johannesburg, but have been countrywide. And I just think a note to all the exhibitors, people who are going to go there, because it's not cheap to exhibit. I think it can cost you anything from 20,000 to 40,000 or 60,000 rand a stand. And what amazes me is how many times businesses putting staff that are ill-equipped to actually deal with the public. And I'm thinking, I spoke to a couple of people at Good Food and Wine, where they were so disinterested in my questions. They were so disinterested in whatever my queries were. And it's not as though they were busy or overwhelmed. They really were just staring into space. I honestly thought they were catatonic to the point that they'd been taking drugs. And I just thought, if this person is not an owner, they should actually be fired. And I asked a couple of people as well. I said, is this your business? Do you own this product? And they'd say yes. And I was just completely flabbergasted that I thought, you have got an opportunity that is costing you a considerable amount of money to exhibit at one of these expos, and you're not even putting the personality or the time or the effort into speaking to people who are genuinely interested. And I can think of a couple of people, I'm just not going to mention their names, but then you come across the other people who are so enthusiastic, who take the time out, listen to your questions and answer you, give you free tests, give you samples, try to find out what you're interested in. And it's not a sales pitch, because often I think people are going to these expos. We just had Decorex, we've had Good Food and Wine Show, there was a franchising expo that happened at the Dome last week. We've got so many things coming up now in terms of beauty and wellness, and also we've got, like I mentioned earlier, Taste of Johannesburg running this weekend at Monte Cassino. So you look at all these things that are happening, and I think, why invest the time, the money, and the effort if you're not going to use it to achieve your goals in terms of getting your brand out there? But this is what I find as well. A lot of times these companies are actually not going to sell products. They might have some merchandise to sell, but it always intrigues me that when you look at these venues, what people are actually carrying in their hands, and they're not carrying anything. It's not as though they're buying or shopping. I think they're just going to have a look. And you never know who's going to be chatting to you behind the booth or in front of your booth. But if somebody shows an interest in your product, I would just show some interest in that person. And I'm not going to say, I'm not going to advertise the fact that I'm on radio, that I'm part of media. But I thought, I got my own radio show on Radio Today, Johannesburg. I could just as easily come back to my show and trash your product or your brand, just as easily as what I could come back and rave about it. So I think even though I might not have been a serious buyer, I might have said I'm not interested in buying, or you find people give you this heavy-handed sales pitch, in which case I automatically get put off as well. So I don't respond to sales pitches. I respond to something that I might be interested in. So if anybody is thinking of exhibiting at one of these expos in future, I think at least train your staff to be passionate and enthusiastic about your product and your brand. And I've done a couple of these expos myself, in wellness specifically, and I know after 4 days of repeating yourself ad nauseum, saying the same things, repeating the benefits of the company, you can lose your enthusiasm and your patience does get tested. When you're always thinking, I'm going to make a sale, I'm going to make a sale, and that sale just never materializes. And you don't have time to eat or drink, so you're basically drinking a fizzy cool drink at the stand. And people always interrupt you when you do try to take a sip or something. But you have to train your staff. And if it's not your staff that is representing your brand and you're the face of your company, you need to put that smile on your face. You need to put the twinkle in your eye. Get some eye drops. It's only 50 Rand. And actually make the effort. Anyhow, having said that, the other thing that I find so interesting is a recent trend that is developing is I think a lot of these venues are actually under catering for the public that they're expecting. And I realize we always talk about we're going in a recession, people don't have money. But a lot of these events, people have to pay to get in too. So it doesn't matter if they're paying 50 Rand or 100 Rand. I think it's almost like an obstacle to keeping the wrong people out of people who are not going to be buying. So if a person pays 50 Rand to get in, obviously there's some interest in terms of buying or at least referencing something for a future point. And I just found very recently a couple of the events I've gone to in Johannesburg this year, you've got a queue between anything from 100 to 200 people before you get your tickets. And then once you get inside the doors, every venue stand that you're going to, there are more people queuing. And I just think there must be a point where people realize the general public are attending these events, and obviously quite favorably as well. So maybe people need to be advised, extend your stands, employ more staff, try to make the whole experience as pleasant as possible. And to give you an idea, when we went to one of the food shows recently, we had to queue. Well, I didn't have to queue because I was media, so I just jumped to the front of the queue. But to get a wine glass, it took us about half an hour. By the time you got your wine glass and you got to the wine exhibitors, there were like at least 10 people, the crowds are like 10 people deep. And I thought, I'm really not going to wait that long just to get a taste of wine. I'd rather go somewhere else where I could actually buy something. So we ended up drinking Savannah. And I think this is what actually makes it a great experience. And I think even with the Oyster Festival that we had at Waterfront a while ago, just to get into an oyster queue was going to take you about half an hour. And I know from one point, we can always say it was very well attended, but then also wonder what is the experience like. And I've got to think twice if I want to go back next year. Anyhow, the one thing that a couple of things that I'm looking forward to coming up in the future is we've got the Beauty and Wellness Fair coming up. And it's not just about cosmetics. It's also about beauty and wellness in terms of body, mind, and spirit, in terms of what are you eating, what are you doing to look after yourself. It's going to be about skincare, and I think for the ladies, especially, it's going to be about makeup. But if you're considering a facelift, there's so many non-invasive procedures that you can consider beyond just Botox and what's the other one? Fillers. I don't use them too often myself. Well, I've never used them myself, so I'm not familiar with them. But apparently nowadays you can actually have a 3D facelift where I imagine it takes them less than an hour to inject your face with fillers that basically lift and rejuvenate the appearance of like sunken elderly features. And I realize that everybody has their own view that they're entitled to as plastic surgery, but I always think plastic surgery never makes you look younger. It just makes you look like you had plastic surgery. And I think Joan Rivers is a classic example. She doesn't look like she's in her 40s or her 50s. She just looks like a 70-year-old woman that has had too much surgery done. So I'm thinking, why would you actually want to look like you've had some surgical intervention? And what I'm very keen to find out at Beauty and Wellness next month, what can they actually do that we can actually not necessarily look younger, but look healthier and look better without altering our fundamental appearance. When I looked at the 3D facelift, I thought that was quite interesting. They've also got all sorts of things in terms of light therapy. They've got pulsed laser light therapy. You've got electronic treatments that actually stimulate and rejuvenate the skin. And I know a lot of times people think, oh, but this is a topic that only women are interested in. But a lot of times you actually find men are going for these procedures because they look less obvious than when you've gone underneath the knife. And I think, well, if men are interested in it, women would probably be interested in it too. And I think one thing we need to do is we need to get somebody to come onto the show to chat about skincare for men. I often tell people, it doesn't really matter what you use, so long as you use something and you use the best quality ingredients that you can afford. But that doesn't necessarily mean something expensive. I think everybody can afford a sun protection factor, a built-in to a moisturizer, get a good cleanser. Toner is optional if you really don't think it works. I think a toner is fantastic. But then protect yourself from the sun. Everybody needs to protect themselves against skin cancer, especially in South Africa, where we have the second highest records for skin cancer in the world. I think Australia beats us because they're closer to the Antarctic or the Arctic, whichever one of those two islands are at the bottom of the map. And also when you look at it, it's like a lot of times as well, and I think especially when men enter into their 40s and their 50s, you suddenly realize that, and I think this is true for women again as well, anybody entering the workplace at any stage in their life, you suddenly realize when you hit your 40s, your 50s, and your 60s, there is always somebody fresher, younger, harder, keener, leaner, who's prepared to do your job at a fraction of the price with a bigger smile on their face. I mean, the marketplace has become so much more competitive. And when you look at the jobs that are available to us nowadays, when there are jobs that are happening nowadays that we would never have envisioned, I think 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I look at myself, I work with online marketing, and I don't think 10 years I would ever have conceived that I'd be able to work online. I mean, that platform just wasn't available to us. And when they started talking about selling things on the internet, I thought, who's going to sell advertising on the internet? Who's going to be interested? But you look at Google AdWords, do you always see whenever you type a search into their search engine? They make their turnover runs into millions and billions of dollars purely because people are looking for something and people are prepared to pay. And then obviously as a company, you need to get yourself online and you find people come to your business because Google positions you and your business with the people that are interested in your services, which is almost like when you compare it, people can advertise a product or a service in the newspaper. Just because 100,000 people buy the newspaper doesn't mean that they're interested in what you're selling. And it doesn't matter if you're selling fudging for Vereniging or cat litter in Roodepoort. You'll actually find Google has got the platform where people in those areas looking for those specific services can actually be directed specifically to you. And I don't know about any of our listeners, but a lot of times I find I'm looking for a product or a service and I get directed to a company somewhere in Cape Town or Durban. And little did I realize there was somebody, not even in Johannesburg, but somebody in the suburb where I live that were actually doing exactly the same thing. So, I mean, nowadays, you think about jobs as well. I saw a very interesting job that I was invited to apply for. It was a brand architect. And I thought, Edward, if you don't know what a brand architect is, you probably shouldn't be applying for the job. But I did a quick Google search, and apparently a brand architect, basically a glorified marketer with a very modern-sounding job title, builds brands, but the architecture of the brand from top to bottom, left to right, inside and out. But I thought, what a pretentious way to actually go and describe somebody's job. So I decided, well, I'm not going to apply to be a brand architect because they probably asked me too many questions that I couldn't answer. But one thing that I really do enjoy is I love being on Radio Today. I think it's such a fantastic platform to connect with people and showing them what they can eat, where they can go, and who they should know. And I think radio is far more exciting than being a brand architect. But then also in terms of everything else that I do, I also enjoy listening to feedback that viewers give us. So if you have anything that you would like to tell us, we always welcome your views on Radio Today with Soundbites with Edward Chamberlain Bell. So whether you agree or whether you disagree, we don't mind. We just don't care about indifference. You're welcome to pop us an email, soundbites@chamberlainbell.com. Alternatively, you could go onto my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com, or you can connect with me on Facebook. I love to hear your views, and I always enjoy hearing other people's opinions. And one last thing, if you haven't gotten tickets to Taste of Johannesburg, retweet me on Twitter at the word of Ed, or go onto my blog, soundbites.chamberlainbell.com. You'll find a link where I'm actually giving away tickets to Taste of Johannesburg for this weekend. If you don't get those tickets from me today, you're going to have to buy your own, and I will see you there. Bon appetit and enjoy your weekend.
Do you want to keep up to date with what's happening with Radio Today, Johannesburg? Have you always felt the urge to write on someone's wall but never quite dared? Now you can, and more, on Facebook. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/radiotodayjhb or on Twitter at Radio Today. That's the sign at Radio numeral 2 Day. Also follow our blog at radiotodayjohannesburg.blogspot.com. Radio Today, radio that delivers.
There is a code of practice that governs advertising in South Africa, a code upheld by the Advertising Standards Authority. So if you see or hear an advertisement you consider misleading or dishonest, don't just cover your eyes or block your ears or keep quiet about it.
Write to the ASA at PO Box 41555, Craig Hall, 2024, or fax to 011-781-1616, or visit www.asasa.org.za.
Tell your friends about Radio Today, the station for great entertainment.
From above, he led me to. When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure, downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
Downtown.
Don't hang around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares, so go downtown, where all the lights are bright, downtown, waiting for you tonight, downtown, you're gonna be alright now.
Downtown,
can't forget all our troubles, forget all our cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more, downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
Downtown.
Downtown.
Want to know what to eat, where to go, and who to know in Johannesburg and all around? Then join us on Soundbites every Saturday, brought to you by The Food Cop on Radio Today.